Hello and welcome to Brussels Unplugged. This week we have a very special guest dealing with money. Actually, Matteo, this past week I was very fortunate. I got to see one part of the Wu-Tang Clan here in Brussels, and when the song came on, Dollar Dollar Bill Yo, I just had to think of today. Serena, welcome. Tell us a bit about yourself, a bit about Positive Money Europe. Very interesting things. We had just had the US elections, which will definitely have an impact on international finance. Yes, the floor is yours.
Hello, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm here today as Serena, of course, but I'm also a campaigner at the organization Positive Money, the EU office of Positive Money. So just to tell you a bit about it for people who don't know us, we are a no-profit campaigning and research organization working to basically redesign the economy for the interests of the people and also for a livable planet. So, of course, as you said, of course, we look also at the kind of global political events. We're actually an international organization, so we have the office here in the EU, but we were actually founded in the UK. Yes, still today we have a London office, which was opened actually post the big financial crash and crisis of early 2000. And then the EU office is, let's say, a bit like the younger sister of the UK organization. We were founded in 2018, so we're actually pretty young. Here in Brussels, of course, we look at the EU institutions in particular. And as you said, we look at money. So, of course, we look at the European Central Bank, which is a key public financial institutions in the broader money and economic system. We look at the monetary policies and above all, we look at the impacts that these decisions have on topics like inequalities, climate, also the kind of digital money and the access that people have to money in the digital era.
Matteo, I know you're a big fan. You're a big fan of Donald Trump.
I am. First of all, welcome, Serena. Let's not disclose political affiliations. We try to remain neutral. But this month, I mean, this episode, of course, is airing on the 25th of November. But this month has been a month of very much political happenings.
I mean, a lot.
Not only the U.S. elections, but the crisis in Germany. Government probably gonna resign soon, and we're gonna have new early elections. Yes, and then of course the commissioner hearings. Serena, what I was interested about what you just said is indeed that you're an NGO and money. Let's be clear. Pietro also quoted the ABBA song "Money" at the beginning. Is usually associated to something that is corrupt, dirty, and you, on the other hand, associated to something positive, not positive money. What does that mean? Like, how can people see money in a positive way? So what's your job there? What's your advocacy?
That's a very good point. I think unfortunately money is always related to kind of negative aspects, and also if you think at the broader picture, right now it is true that how the kind of money system and financial system is set is really kind of going to favor financial interests rather than the interest of people, let's say. We really try to kind of see at the money system in a, let's say, holistic approach. So we look at the system as a whole, and we really kind of advocate for positive change. So in a way, we push for this kind of key public financial institutions like central banks to put in place policy tools and to basically take decisions that will basically move money away from activities that are for instance, contributing to the climate crisis, so for instance, polluting activities, and towards solutions, towards sectors, for instance, in the economy that will bring positive change. So, yeah, for instance, the green transition and all the kind of investments in the clean energy that will boost competitiveness in Europe, and that will bring like a brighter future for European people. And then I think maybe also another reason why we have this negative perception about money is that unfortunately we don't have like a deep understanding on how the whole system works. And this for sure, it's not our fault or people's fault. But I think that, you know, institutions like central banks are seen as technocratic institutions, very far from people's everyday life. And I don't know about you guys, but for instance, when I was at school, I mean, I didn't really have anything about kind of economy or money, like
in
Italy.
Pietro is an economy geek. He knows everything. He knows everything.
Know everything.
But yeah, so I think this negative perception also comes by the fact that we don't have like a very deep understanding, unless you're an economist, unless you're an expert. We are kind of set to believe that these institutions and issues about money are very far from us, and that it's very hard and complex to understand, while it is not. And what actually the central bank does is really... it really has a huge impact on everyday aspects of our life. So on housing, for instance, mm-hmm. On employment. So I think the first step is really to kind of shine a light on these aspects. And that's also something that we try and do at Positive Money, to have a bit this mission of try to demystify these topics that are usually considered as negative and far from people.
Thank you, Serena. Very, very interesting. What also definitely caught my attention, and a question just came to mind, is because you mentioned how you want to bring attention to essentially where the money could go that could have positive impacts on society. Well, this past week we had Donald Trump and Elon Musk that are getting ready to go into the White House, and they proclaimed that they want to usher in a new era of deregulation, especially concerning fossil fuel drilling, and as well certain sort of capital markets rules. Are you concerned that you'll be walking a bit in a tougher environment in the next 4 to 5 years, or that this will have an impact here in Brussels, as well as especially now that we're having a new commission that's being formed?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a concern, even just for the reason that we don't work in silos. And of course, I mean, we're talking about the US, right? It's kind of the this hegemonic country. So what happens there? And this very big political decision that happened in the US will for sure have consequences for us here in the EU, but for the whole world. As you said, I mean, Trump already during the campaign, he promised to to end the Inflation Reduction Act, yes, that Biden started, and that was a big kind of subsidy to the clean energy sector and to, you know, the green transition in general. I'm not 100% sure about the fact he will actually implement that, just because I think the businesses that would kind of be faced with difficulties would be mm-hmm. American businesses first. And I think, you know, Trump should be someone who care about American, the American economy and American businesses. But it is true that, and I think that this should also be as a sign for EU policymakers to really kind of implement bolder policy actions and decisions that really can help, the clean energy sector here in Europe, which is something that also Mario Draghi, for instance, suggested with his report And then, yeah, I think that, you know, one of the main reasons why Americans voted for Trump is economic worries. Mm-hmm. So again, the economy. And I think it's yet another sign that we should really care about it and yeah, try to bring a positive change.
Yeah, indeed. And well, as one famous American advisor used to say, it's the economy, stupid. No, that's
exactly.
Why people vote for candidates. But let's go back from this side of the Atlantic. Let's go back to Europe, and let's go. I want to focus on Brussels. In one of the first podcasts that we had with Pietro, the Brussels Unplugged episodes, you know, we really try to take this podcast and to take it to a dimension which is very Brussels based, no? And there is a very concrete experience that we shared with Pietro, and I share with many friends, which is the lack of ATMs in the cities, and which it has to do with money. I don't know if it's positive money, but it definitely has to do with money. And I want to bring it back to what you just said, no, that, you know, you want to your advocacy is also, and your campaigning is also part of, you know, relating to the problems that people are living every day. Mm-hmm. And I find that this is could sound banal, but this is a problem. Like I heard many people complaining about the lack of ATMs in the cities. They don't know how to where to withdraw money, that there is too much of a use of cards, also to pay little expenses. And of course, the card use has been associated to the banks. The banks are taking our money. We're paying commission fees, and, you know, the money is becoming not tangible anymore. So God knows what the banks are doing with our money. It's also, there is also a full theory, a full framing around this. Yeah. So how do you try to relate to these day-to-day problems that people have, and how do you campaign or communicate about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely a problem that I share. I think when I first moved here to Brussels 2 years ago now, I live in the kind of Stephanie area, and I remember when I first moved, I had like two or three ATMs near where I lived, and now there's zero.
All gone.
You can already see this phenomenon happening, and this is very much related to the work that we do, because as I was mentioning, a big chunk of the work Positive Money does is about green finance. But we also look at something else, which is called the digital euro. People maybe when hearing this expression, they can think like, why is the European Central Bank looking at like the digital euro? I already have digital euros on my phone, in my bank app. But it's actually, it's actually different also, different to Bitcoins and the other old kind of form of digital money that we're used to hearing and reading about in the news, because the digital euro that is under discussion right now and that the European Central Bank would like to introduce is actually a digital form of public money. And this is a difference that is key, and I think it's also important to understand this, and it's related to what you, Matteo, was saying in terms of giving too much power to the banks. Because actually in our system, in the money and payment system, we have two types of money, so private money and public money. Private money is the money created by the banks, by private banks. So in the form of our deposits, so what I have on my phone, basically, it's a symbol of private money. While on the other hand, public money is money created by a public institution, by central banks. And the only form of public money that we have today is cash. So cash is a safe form of money because it is public, and because it is
tangible.
Yeah, it's tangible first, it's physical, and then it's a promise from the state to pay the owner, you know, of the money what the tangible banknote states that's the value. And this is as opposite to the money created by banks. Banks are private companies and entities, and we all know that they can go bankrupt, and they did.
And they can disappear with our money.
Disappear with our money.
But on the other hand, it's also true that cash brings the idea of, you know, tax evasion and so forth. So where is the middle ground?
Yeah, I mean, actually, that's for sure a problem. But also the problem is what you were saying, that cash is indeed disappearing. And today, I mean, I think something like 15% of the money in circulation in the Eurozone is cash. So only 15%.
15%, all right.
Exactly. And then there are, you know, different countries. The situation is different. I mean, in Italy, it's more used, for instance. When I go back home.
No surprise.
Talk to the taxi driver.
Taxi drivers here in Brussels as well. Huh? When I just moved here, first taxi I took, he took me to 3 different ATMs. Absolutely.
That's a story, Pietro.
Yeah, it was after dinner. It was like around midnight. I just want to go home. You know, I just moved from the US. I was exhausted. I catch a taxi from La Bourse. He's like, okay, can I pay by card? Huh? He's like, no, cash. No, okay. On va en bancomat.
I have a similar story as
really?
Well.
Yeah. And, but you have to tour three ATMs.
Because two were closed. One was broken, the other one was closed. And finally, the third one. In the meantime, I lost an extra 30 minutes at midnight, you know. This event.
I don't want to put you in a difficult spot, but the question, it's a bit, I ask this question myself. Mm-hmm. So, but the problem is that it's the taxi driver that should have an electronic payment system in place, or it is good to have always some cash in hands. Like, should we increase the number of ATMs? Should we increase the money circulation, or should we go totally electronic? I mean,
yeah. So I mean, our position at Positive Money, and also something that I personally share. I think that you know, people's right to cash should always be protected, because as I said, cash is the only form of public money that we have today. And so I think that's really a right that policymakers should protect for, you know, as long as possible. But it is also true that we live in an increasingly digital world, and that's something that we cannot reverse. And that's why we think that the digital euro could be a solution to this, because the digital euro is a digital equivalent of cash. So it would have like the same characteristic, in the sense that it should be free of cost for users. It should have a high level of privacy as well, even if being digital, it cannot be exactly.
This is very interesting. So try to explain it to me like I'm not Pietro, an expert in economy. I'm a basic 5-year-old kid who doesn't know anything about the economy. Why do you say that digital euro is different from and will have the same guarantees of cash rather than instead the money that we have from the banks or the current electronic payments? What's the difference there?
The difference is really related to this kind of distinction that I was making about private and public money. So a digital euro would be still, you know, money issued by the central bank, so by a public institution.
Safe
institution. Because, of course, you know, banks can go bankrupt while a central bank is a safe, you know, public institution. So this is really the main reason why it would be different, because it's public money. And then really what we try to do is advocate for, you know, a digital euro that is as much similar as cash, or at least it would bring the same benefits to people. So what I was saying, free of cost for using, a high level of privacy, and also something that would really improve our money system in a way of, you know, reestablishing money as a public good. Because if we continue to this, you know, trajectory of having basically private banks having more and more power in kind of controlling our money, then we would have basically private entities who have basically the power of providing people with something that is a public good. So we shouldn't forget that money is a public good. And so the digital euro would really be a way to reestablish, you know, money in this way in a digital era, but it should complement cash, not substitute it.
Thank you, Serena. Two things just came to mind, because going back to the taxi drivers, the taxi driver today would tell me, well, Mac, Payconic, just put the QR code and then TAC.
No.
And then somebody who's maybe concerned about how they spend their money and the whole the surveillance aspect of it, right? Because once it's digital, it's trackable. Once you have a wallet, it's much more trackable. That's also a thing of cash that once you have it, that's that, right? Once it passes hands, the owner is who holds it, pretty much. But so there's little less trail. So what would you say to such a concern? Like how, don't worry, but why?
It is true that, you know, the privacy topic is what concerns the most. So when the European Central Bank was starting basically this process of just start and think about introduction of this digital public currency, they did a survey, which also citizens other than organizations could reply to. And privacy was the main concern that people had. So we really push for the European Central Bank and also for the other EU institutions to have this in mind. And again, I really think that you know, cash would be the most you know private form of money that we have. Probably a digital euro could not have the same level, but we really advocate for you know, the highest level of privacy, at least for, you know, low value transactions. And this is something that, you know, we don't go in depth of, you know, the technology, because we're not very much experts on that, and personally I don't really understand, you know, the workings of that, but yeah, we do think that there's a level of privacy that can be kept and that it should be protected even with a digital euro.
All right.
Well, Serena, I mean, I was thinking about other aspect of money. I mean, this is really, you gave us like, I don't know, a masterclass on economy and money, which is very interesting, and it's very down to earth. So I appreciate what you've been explaining to us. I think about cash, and I mean, my mind is wired in communication, and I think about how showing off cash, you know, I was thinking about you said the privacy. And I remember that our grandmas and my parents used to hide their cash under the mattress. So it was a very private thing. And it was also, as you say, of course, we associate money as something that has to be private, has to be safe. Mm-hmm. On the other end, today, we also see on social media how cash is shown not only in goods that you possess, but also visibly shown. Cash itself, money itself, has several dimensions. So, of course, we cannot explore them all in enough on our podcast. But I appreciate what you told us, you know, because it is still today associated to different dimensions. Mm-hmm. I mean, also of this idea of showing off, you know, of having the banknotes of and so on and so forth. So, thanks for all this comprehensive lecture on money.
That definitely would make for less dramatic scenes. I'm thinking of The Sopranos when giving money in church, right? The role of money.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think about, indeed, what you mentioned, but I mean, let's think about the Scarface movie or like the drug related movie, how the cash has been always, you know, a big part of showing off and stuff. And nowadays on social media, we see that as well.
Yeah.
But going back to Brussels, I mean, I think we can move from money to books recommendations.
Unplugged
recommendations, and of course our guest,
please,
first.
So I can definitely suggest a coffee place, because basically going out for coffee and cake is all I do, above all in this season. So if you, like me, are a fan of a chai latte, on the full season, is a perfect kind of drink. There's a chai bar in Rue de Libourne, so very close to Bailly, and it's a traditional one. So the first time I've had it, I kind of thought, okay, all the past chai lattes that I've had in my life were not real. So yeah, it's a very nice atmosphere as well, very familiar, very cozy, nice garden. So definitely recommend that.
All right.
Pietro, any...
Yeah, no, I was, yeah, absolutely. I actually have it here with me because I just got it. I was reading it a few nights ago. I went for date night. My Christina went to outside for a phone call. So I just busted out with this little book And the table next to us thought I was insulting them because of the title. It's called Basic Laws of Human Stupidity by Carlo Cipolla, an Italian economic historian who taught at the University of California, Berkeley. He's not with us anymore. He passed away in 2000. This book, I think, was published in the 70s, 80s. But essentially, it was his try to help himself rationalize stupidity. And yeah, I thought it was a great one.
Great. I mean, we have coffee, we have books.
Also, Life is Beautiful, great cocktails. Just since we're still on the unplugged recommendations.
Life is Beautiful is the cocktail place
in Catherine.
Near the Bourse. Yeah, I've been there. I can also strongly recommend
it. Good.
Yeah. Probably the best cocktails in the city. I don't know if you agree.
So. Yeah. I think so, yeah. Absolutely.
Very peculiar. There are a German, I think that the couples are one, they're German owners, and they even do cocktail classes.
Ah,
so
okay.
If you want to learn how to do cocktails, Life is Beautiful. It's very interesting. We had drinks, we had books. I'm going to recommend Netflix TV series, which I just finished to watch, which is The Diplomat. The second season has been recently released. And it's not something, it's something that I would recommend, but at the same time, with caution.
Why?
because it's one of these American productions where they overdo and they overportray as a bit they did with the House of Cards some certain scenarios. So in this case, they portray the life of a diplomat, in this case an American diplomat in the UK in London, and the plot is way too exaggerated for what a diplomat usually do on a regular day, probably because what a diplomat usually does on a regular day is boring, but
let's be honest, it
depends. It depends on which country they are, but definitely it's more about receptions and things of the sort. And they needed to spice it up, but I think that they a bit overreacted spicing it up. But the actor, the main actress, she used to play the main role in another amazing TV series called The Americans. About two Russian spies.
The covert sleepers.
Living as a covert in the US. She's been playing an amazing role. So the Americans are surely recommended as a TV series.
Absolutely.
Great.
Before we wrap it up, Serena, tell us a bit where to find Positive Money on social media, website, anywhere.
Yes, we are on the main social media platform. We have a TikTok, Facebook, Twitter or X, as you prefer calling it. We're also on LinkedIn and YouTube. And we also have a fresh new website. We just launched it this summer. So with a new brand and very nice resources that you can find there. And you find also my personal contacts there. So if you want to reach out, do so. Always happy to talk about money.
Perfect. And that wraps it up. Serena, thanks a lot for those who want to follow Positive Money. You had the references. You can listen to this podcast again if you are curious to know what money means, how to use it. Pietro, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you, Matteo. And thank you to all of our listeners out there. We hope to see you again to the next 25th, every 25th of the month. And we'll continue talking about money as well in December.
And it's going to be a Christmas episode.
Exactly.
It's going to be 25th of December. So we're going to celebrate Christmas in style. We're not going to reveal our next guest, but we're going to celebrate Christmas in style. And you can listen while unpacking your gift. You can listen the new Brussels Unplugged
episode. To our lovely voices.
Exactly. Serena, thanks again. And
thank you for having me.
Grazie.
Have a nice day. Bye.